Well, when you think about this upset, historically, I've always thought about what was wrong with Mike Tyson going into the fight. And a lot of that was explored. Because it starts, the very first shot of the entire doc is an old video of him talking about Buster Douglas in the week or 2 weeks before the fight. And he basically wouldn't even acknowledge the guy's name. He's just like, I don't care. I don't care what he does. It doesn't matter what he does because I do what I do. And that had always worked for Tyson. But they explored his life a little bit, Tyson's leading up to this fight. And we all know that he was going through the divorce with Robin Givens. He hadn't fought for about a year. People on the inside know that there was big changes in his corner men and trainer. Because Don King thought he could undercut the guys who were training him and be like, well, it doesn't matter who trains him. I don't want to pay 10%. I want to pay a far lower percent. So he did. He changed some of the guys that were doing the training. Tyson was not taking it that seriously. A year goes by. He wasn't in peak physical condition. If you'll remember, Greg Page knocked him down sparring in a couple days before the fight.
But let's just point out, Mike Tyson didn't have to be in peak physical condition to beat up the people he'd been beating up because he was just so thoroughly, unbelievably dominant in those fights.
Absolutely. But I think most fans think of the things that Tyson, in hindsight, was lacking leading up to that fight and not taking seriously. I don't think that many of us knew the real story of Buster Douglas. I brought it, and you didn't watch the documentary last night, and that's okay. And the first thing you said was he was a tomato can.
Yes, he was a guy with a good record. That's the kind of fighter you want to fight. You want to fight a guy with a good record who isn't dangerous.
And the reason he was fighting him, number one, in Japan, is because they didn't think they could sell tickets to that fight in the U.S. because the fights were ending so quickly. And it was just a placeholder fight leading up to Tyson Holyfield, which was supposed to happen, I think, in June of that year. The Douglas fight happened in February. It was just another one to throw at Tyson, another knockout, build it more, and then have their big blowout against Holyfield.
Trainers do this with horses. They've got the Breeders' Cup coming up. They'll give them a race about a month and a half before the Breeders' Cup just to get them back to racing and get them ready for the big event.
Right. So the story of Buster Douglas is pretty interesting. Some things I didn't know about him. His mom died just a couple weeks before the fight. I didn't even know that.
I didn't either.
He had suffered a divorce, I think 8 months or within the last year before the fight. And the relationship...
Because his wife said in court he was a tomato can?
Exactly.
Okay.
That win-loss record wasn't enough for her. The big thing, though, was his relationship with his dad. And always the question with Buster Douglas was, did he care? Did he care that day? He always had some weight issues that he struggled with. But his dad, he basically wanted to be a basketball player. And then because of guilt, the feelings he had toward his dad, who was a successful boxer. I didn't know his dad was a very well-known boxer up in the Ohio area. He decided to tell his dad, okay, I want you to train me. I want to be a boxer. His dad was all proud. But his dad was trying to teach him in the mold that his dad had, which is very ferocious, whatever. And they said he's just more like his mom, which is a little more cerebral. Not quite the full-on offensive attacker in the boxing style. So his dad was always his trainer. This led up to a very successful career. I think he had two or three losses against maybe 25, 30 wins, and he fought Tony Tucker for the IBF belt. He was dominating the fight. He was about to win a belt. Something happened. He ran out of gas, and he sort of quit. And they showed footage of this, and Killer saw it. It was kind of like the weirdest fight stoppage ever. It's almost like he's just standing with his back on the ropes, getting tagged in the face. He doesn't look like he's hurting that bad. And the ref just steps in and stops it. And Buster didn't seem to care.
Am I correct? No, I didn't see the documentary. Am I correct that he was ahead on all cards in that fight when they stopped the fight?
That's what they seem to indicate for sure. But it kind of went back to his dad. And if you look at the video, his dad has a shirt during that fight in Buster Douglas's, James Buster Douglas's corner. His shirt says Bill Douglas, which is his own name. Like,
all right.
It was just, as with many athletes who have kids who play the same sport, I think you live your life through them at that point. And I guess he was doing it to a level that made Buster very uncomfortable. Like Buster would do a training thing and jump rope, and his dad would come in there and try to beat him at the jump rope thing in front of all the press and stuff. It was just one of those things. So after that fight, people thought Buster Douglas was done. Fine. He called his dad and fired him. And that was a very emotional thing. His dad was obviously super mad at him, but he said, I just can't do it like this. So while Tyson was coming through the ranks, knocking out everyone and ultimately beating Trevor Burbick, I think it was, to win most of the belts, not the IBF at the time, Buster Douglas was trying to get his life back together and fight under new trainers. And he rattled off 6 wins in a row. He got lean. He was responding to the new style of training. And he did enough to put himself in position to fight Mike Tyson, which was the big payday. It was a big honor. And obviously, it was a title shot. He knew that he was considered just this tomato can who was being lined up for Tyson to knock down on his way to Holyfield. But you still take the fight.
What was it? It was a payday for Buster Douglas.
Absolutely.
He was to
be
another tomato can that got knocked off and got a pretty nice payday for being a victim.
Well, that's what we all thought. But yep. If you learn a little bit about Buster at the time, he was peaking. He was cut during that fight. I mean, Buster, we always know of him struggling with his weight a little bit, but he was ripped for this fight.
And the one thing I remember about this fight was, this was not a single lucky punch fight.
Right. We'll get to the actual fight in a moment, but again, he was training hard, he was dialed in, and his mom passed away. He took 2 or 3 days to mourn, and they're like, do you want us to postpone the fight? We will. And, you know, he says, no, my mom would want me to fight. So he decides to keep it. And apparently, those last 3 weeks, he just tripled down on his training with just rabid focus. While this was happening, Mike Tyson was almost already in Tokyo. He went a couple weeks early. He's doing this press thing. He's visiting hospitals, not training that much. And being dragged all about. Japanese fans are very passionate, very touchy. And he said he didn't even like leaving his hotel room because they were just squealing and touching him. He didn't understand the language. And it was just stress for Tyson. He was also dealing with a divorce. He was just kind of holed up in his hotel room and didn't want to really be part of it. Wasn't training that well. At the same time, back in America, in Ohio, Buster Douglas is killing himself to get ready for this. Again, this story isn't that insane at this point still. It's still Mike Tyson. Buster goes over there. Vegas wouldn't even give odds. Most sports books didn't give odds that you could put on Buster Douglas. But then they had Jimmy Vaccaro, or I don't know what the guy's
name. Yeah, Jimmy Vaccaro.
Okay, Jimmy Vaccaro. He said, you know what? Screw it. Let's get some action on this kid. They started at, 15-1? No bets. Made it 25-1. They eventually got to the tipping point of 42-1, where they finally started getting some decent money in on Buster. And even at that point, people were betting. One guy bet $150,000 on Tyson to win whatever it was, $4,000 or something.
Really?
I mean, yeah, but it's a sure thing.
Sure.
When you
sure
see a sure thing, sometimes you lay $100 to win $4 if it's a sure dang thing.
In horse racing, that's called a bridge jumper, Mike. Because when you lose, you jump off the bridge.
But they said a guy put $1,500 on Buster at 42-1, which was, I think, the biggest bet he reported.
Oh.
So they get to the fight, and other indicators show reasons why Tyson might have an issue with a guy like Douglas. He's a lot taller. His reach advantage is 12 inches. Now, we know Tyson, Kid Dynamite, is just balled up, tiny, relatively tiny, just athlete that'll work on the inside and uppercut you like silly. But if you, in hindsight, again, this all is, but he struggled with Bone Crusher Smith and with Tony Tucker.
James Bone Crusher Smith.
But those are two guys that went the distance with Tyson, and they had similar body types to Douglas. They were very tall. They were just very sizable. And Tyson apparently had a hard time knocking out people who were that tall. I think Bruce Seldon was one of the ones he did. He was a pretty big guy.
Yeah,
but Bruce reduced
himself to 2'3" before he collapsed on the floor.
So Douglas enters the ring full of confidence, and he's winning the fight, the entire fight.
Yeah,
from jump, he was ahead.
Yes.
And they keep showing Tyson in his corner, and he looks a little disheveled, but still Mike Tyson.
Well, his guys in his corner weren't fully prepared either. They left equipment out.
Dude, how about
that? The cold press, his main trainer, they're supposed to bring a cold press that will help stop the swelling in your eye and everything.
Yeah, like that metal pad thing.
Yeah, he forgot it. So he had to take a rubber glove and fill it with ice to put it on Tyson's eye because he didn't have the proper equipment.
Is that not amazing? They didn't even bring a cold press because why would Mike Tyson be swollen enough to use a cold press?
Something you missed real quick, too. Before his mom passed away, Douglas, she was worried about him going and fighting and just cashing in a paycheck. And he point blank told his mom, don't worry about me. Worry about the guy I'm going to beat. And she said to her other son, that's the first time she ever saw her husband in Buster.
Yeah.
She had never seen him show that ferocity.
Yep.
And that is what told, like.
And I find that amazing, but almost every person Mike Tyson knocked out, they probably had some level of confidence prior, and they're like, I'm going to be the guy.
Yeah.
Until they're not the guy. So anyway, the fight's going well. Douglas is leading on all fronts. And then Mike Tyson hits an uppercut and floors Buster Douglas and knocked him silly. I mean, it was a brutal punch. And that's how Mike Tyson can still win, even if he's losing a fight. Buster Douglas waited till 9+ to stand up. I thought they were going to in the replay, I know what happened, but I mean, it looked like one of those where the ref just waves it off. He got up at just at 9. Tyson's corner after the fight says, dude, what, did you give him 12 to get up? I mean, it seemed like a long count, but he got up. And then in the 10th round, the infamous round where Buster Douglas gets knocked down and then he's saved by the bell. Right when he stands up, it's the end of the round. You know Tyson's coming out the next round swinging for the fences, and he absolutely was. And Douglas weathered that storm, turned the tide once again, and then the 10th round, tags jab, and then a right cross basically that sends Tyson to the canvas for the first time in his life. The mouthpiece goes flying, and he is out of it. Now, I will say Tyson did get up at about 9, just like Douglas did, and the ref at that point did wave it off immediately. If you go by the 10 count, it was the same, but Tyson was out of his head. That fight didn't belong continuing. And they wave it off, and all the mystique that's ever surrounded an athlete maybe was never at the level that it was around Tyson on that day, and it was over in the snap of a finger at the hands of James Dan Buster Douglas at 42-1.